It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We're in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. So you're not going to get any yard work done. That's unfortunate for you
today. I don't know if it is or it isn't, Tiff. It's a good excuse, though. I think a lot of people this time of year kind of push it off, right? I mean, you got to rake leaves and do all the other stuff. And
you want to save that for the weekend?
No, because I get side eye from my wife because she's like, you were home without kids for a number of hours this week and you didn't do this. And yet you chose when we were all home with the kids to do this. And now she would be on kid duty while I was raking the leaves. So it's just not going to happen. I'd be getting all sorts of ugly looks.
Just take them out there and let them play in the leaves while you rake them.
Well, that's the best case scenario, yes, for sure. But how long will they be entertained by that would be the question. Yeah, I'm with you, though. That's definitely the best case.
There is a new thing. It's probably not that new, but I saw something on the interwebs.
Breaking news.
About leaving the leaves. That it's good for the ecosystem.
You're
creating less waste for the your waste management company to come out. So you leave the leaves because apparently it's good for bees. I don't understand that concept yet. Maybe they sleep under the leaves and stay warm. I have no idea. But there's other bugs that then will eat the leaves. So it's actually a good thing. I think it's part of that whole leave your lawn alone stuff where you see people just letting.
That's just not going to happen in my good old fashioned Zoysia.
Don't you have neighbors that do that? Didn't you say you were?
I do. Yeah, my direct neighbor does not believe in grass. Yeah, I have a direct neighbor that does not believe in grass.
They don't cut it or they don't?
No, they don't believe. They don't have it.
Oh,
well,
okay,
how do you not believe in something that's
tangible? I mean, the
tangible.
People that have grass, but they let it just grow wild.
They don't believe in having grass.
But
they
I'm saying that you had. Okay, you don't have someone that.
Yeah.
Let the lawn grow wild.
They use clover instead. I'm sorry. I wasn't clear on that.
Okay, I was
clover.
Artificial. Okay.
I need to know the reasoning behind this.
It's better for the ecosystem.
Upkeep. You don't have chemicals. You don't have to water it. You don't. You know.
But grass is natural thing. I understand not water.
The
upkeep
is not though.
Not when you put fertilizer, all that extra stuff to make it green.
But they got weed, crabgrass and Johnson grass doesn't need anything to grow. It just needs,
Sure. And
the
I'm
earth.
Sure if that was in their front yard, they'd let it go too.
So but you don't have an HOA that is all over that?
We have an HOA, but it's not, it's the best version of HOA.
Oh,
it's not
that's
overbearing.
Good. Okay.
But they will, if you park a fifth wheel camper in your front yard, they'll be like, hey man, got to move that.
All right.
Unless you use it as the guise of the ecosystem, I guess, like these people do. I mean, that's some hippie stuff right there. I don't know. That's odd.
It doesn't bother me, man. They keep their yard tidy. And
yeah.
So
okay.
That's good.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So
I
don't mind the clover.
I need to straight up blow my leaves. But see, I've got a natural backyard. There's no grass, nothing. It's just there's too many trees to grow anything back there. And and also the way the elevation is, if I was to take the trees out, then I would have mudslides. Not a huge one, but a little bit, when it rains.
So a lot of runoff.
It's either spend $70,000 to $80,000 on cutting all the trees down and landscaping or just leave up the nice kind of backyard that I'll have that with nothing. So I just blow the leaves in the backyard, which I need to do. Badly.
NFL teams need their own version of HOA. Maybe at HOA.
Well, that's Kangaroo Court, right?
The Falcons defense.
That'd be great. Yeah. Hold them accountable. Yeah.
I don't know. There might be a lot of fines.
I might get a nasty letter in the mail for a couple of those.
Wanted to talk about just the changes and improvements that this team might need to make over the course of their bye week. So maybe an HOA, maybe you need to send them a letter.
Yeah, maybe can you make some changes, not to your property, but to the way you do things. Look, in all seriousness, we were talking earlier about some of the changes you want to see. And this is kind of an open-ended topic, right, guys? Because it's personnel, substitutions, schematics, blitzes, disguises, change-ups, things like that. And, I know we'll probably do more of this in the offense tomorrow, but I continue to kind of dig in to the numbers. And one of the interesting things on a positive side I've kind of found here when you look at the season season numbers is the amount of passes thrown by the opponents per game at 34.3. That's 27th in the NFL. But your opponent's yards per pass right now still sitting at number 11 in the NFL at 6.9. So when you start to stack those numbers up, becomes a little bit more understanding of what they're trying to get done. They won the underneath throws. We've talked about it all year, right? Give a big bumper, allow the underneath throws, and make sure it tackles. And the way that it seems like more and more that opponents have started to attack that is, hey, you're going to give us a big buffer. To Bo's point, you know, 30 minutes ago, we're going to run screens, and we're going to run kickout blocks, and we're going to put a big guard, you know, the guy with the dreadhead right guard for Denver this past weekend. You know, kick out blocks on a number of linebackers, corners, and everything else because you have that big cushion and because you're allowing those throws at or behind the line of scrimmage for this Falcons defense. So frustrating, I guess, to say the least, and especially when it doesn't work and when your offense can't keep pace. But it's a little more clear to me, you know, looking at those numbers, what this defense is trying to at least accomplish.
Yeah, you got to put some respect on Quinn Miner's name, by the way.
You know? Look, dude.
One of the better offensive.
I will. You know me.
No, I know. I just messed with
respect
you.
I respect him all day. He's a unique looking fellow, but man, he can block.
You know, and I think the problem of this defense has been magnified the last few weeks with injuries too. You know, the last 2 weeks you've lost Mike Hughes. And for essentially what has been two games, you know, seven quarters, I guess, something like that. And then you've had D. Alford, you've missed him for a little over a game as well, right? And what, you know, to me, when you allow, you know, those D. Alford has been phenomenal this year. So is Mike Hughes at reading screens.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And been
triggering,
decisive,
yep.
Instinctual. And decisive and knifing through and making tackles. And when you play this stack of stuff and you don't have guys that are experienced out there, now you're compounding the issue and you're giving guys like Quinn Miners 7-8 yards. They're able to get out there and create a wall. And on the flip side, you're not doing that when you run screens. And I know we'll get to that tomorrow because I know that's something that's high on your list of how to change it. So I guess what I'm saying is that when you are down, guys, I know you want to keep everything in front of you, but it ain't worked the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And no, that's not right. That's not fair. It did work in the second half of the game against the Saints. The first half, you were sleepy and you let guys get behind you. Let's just talk about the Denver game. It didn't work. And Sean Payton is an elite play caller and he's elite game day coach when it's talking about making adjustments. You know, I cannot like him and say that. Oh, I ran into him, by the way, Ding.
Ding.
Tiff, yeah, we're walking through. I know you
physically,
weren't here Monday.
Physically ran into him.
We're almost. He yielded to me.
What?
You go ahead.
Who yielded to you?
Sean Payton.
I just wanted you to say that.
He yielded to me because he knew it was good for him.
I don't even think you believe that.
No, but he was actually polite in yielding. But the reality situation, Derek, he's gonna watch this on film, pick you apart, and he's the type of coach that if he already gets ahead of you and you do adjust, he's good enough to adjust as to your adjustment. And when you're already behind the eight ball, you know, a couple of scores, 15 points at halftime. That's going to be a long day.
I completely agree with everything you're saying, but if you'll allow me for just a second, because
no.
I want to see your rebuttal is, allow me to be devil's advocate, and I'll play the role of Jimmy Lake. If Jimmy Lake were to walk in here right now, and he'd say, hey, you know, we really wanted to adjust to the way they were attacking us, but with our third string nickel in the game and Kevin King getting knocked out on play number four and having to play Richie Grant – those guys are all playing out of position, and sometimes it's difficult to make those adjustments right there in the second quarter, and we wanted to get to halftime before we could make the proper adjustments.
Mr. Lake?
Yes.
Because you're playing Jimmy Lake right now, and
yeah.
I'm angry fan number three.
Correct.
Why the hell was Richie Grant the guy that decided the safety that you put in nickel anyways when you replaced him? I mean, I don't even know. You got Natron Brooks on the sideline over there, Coach. Why would you go to Richie Grant?
Well,
what's up with that?
Well, Natron Brooks has been up and down for the practice squad, hasn't gotten a lot of those reps, and Richie Grant has a better understanding of what our coverages are and what we're trying to get accomplished.
But, Coach, when Natron was in there, he did a good job at making a couple of plays on some screens.
Yeah, we
saying.
Got a chance at halftime to really have some conversations with Natron Brooks, and we liked the attitude he could bring. We talked to him about a couple of the coverage we wanted to run in the second half, and he was able to step up and do that after those conversations.
Timeout.
Okay.
Can I go complete fanboy in this role play? Can I go complete fanboy?
Yeah, go ahead. Because I completely agree with what you're saying. I just think that for conversation's sake, I got to say the other side of this.
Okay, time in.
Go ahead.
Why'd you ruin Matthew Judon? What did you do to
Matthew
him?
Matthew Judon ruined himself. Okay.
No, I kid. Coach, I've noticed your linebackers are banged up, and I understand that.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like they're taking on blocks. I feel like they're trying to run around. It's creating holes in the run game.
Yeah. There's a lot of eye manipulation going on in the backfield, and our guys have to do a better job at diagnosing that at the point of attack and getting downhill quicker.
Well, coach them.
Yeah, that's the key. I'm on board, baby. Let's go.
Up next, we will get you the latest NFL headlines when we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are going in the huddle for the latest NFL headlines, and there are more changes for the New York Jets. According to Adam Schefter, they fired GM Joe Douglas. So first it was Coach Robert Saleh earlier in the season, and then now the GM.
Yeah, the GM that apparently didn't make some of the moves that have been made. Apparently some of those came from ownership, like the Devontae Adams, the Hassan Reddick trade apparently was from reports, you know, from leaks that some of that came from Woody Johnson. Joe Douglas, you go and look at some of the drafts and stuff, he's drafted good players. I mean, Breece Hall, good player. Sauce Gardner, a defensive rookie of the year. They got the kid on the edge from Iowa State. Good player. Like they've put together some good players. Now they're not playing good together. And then it comes down to it. They've only got about two or three players that have performed well this year. And I don't know. You know, that's to me, there's an organizational issue. There are good dudes in that organization. Like, and I mean good. Like I thought. Robert Saleh is a good defensive coach. He very much comes from the Dan Quinn kind of philosophy in how he coaches, right? And you know, some of the same slogans are the same. The way he treats players is very much the same. In fact, when he got interviewed here for the job was the same when Arthur Smith was going for the job, right? They were both hired in the same year. One in New York and one in Atlanta, and I had heard through sources that one of the reasons Saleh didn't get more consideration here was because they thought he was too much like Dan Quinn. But the way he coached and the way he treated players just the organizational feel that he was bringing in, like
sure.
But there is something fundamentally wrong is my point with that organization, and I think firing Saleh. And eventually Ulbrich and then Joe Douglas. I don't think the guy that's firing everybody can fire the person that needs to be fired because he would have to look in the mirror to do that.
Can I ask you a piggyback question on the back end of that just as a follow-up? Because we're talking about head coaches that, you know, have been around this franchise and whatever. Does it bother either of you guys that Dan Quinn's having a good year as head coach and that Arthur Smith is having a good year as an OC? How does that make you feel?
I love the fact that Dan Quinn's having a great year. I'm a huge fan of Dan Quinn.
Arthur Smith as well, but I, you know, had a good rapport with Coach Quinn.
Sure.
So, you know, always going to kind of root for those guys.
But I mean, it's just as a fan perspective, you're like, it just feels like a gut punch sometimes when you look up and you see Arthur Smith succeeding with Russell Wilson.
No, I mean, well, first off, the Dan Quinn thing, I am a huge Dan Quinn fan.
Sure.
As a coach,
and he had a good run here. He was successful as the Falcons head
sometimes
coach.
Things run its course.
Sure.
It had run its course here.
It's stale.
The Arthur Smith thing, I really, Arthur personally was never a jerk to me, was always cool to me. He would have conversations with us. He would tell us stuff. I've sat in closed-door meetings with Arthur Smith that you don't talk about outside, and he was nothing but nice to me.
I think what Mike wants you to do, since you always have the pulse of the fan, on the Twitters,
right.
Is to put yourself in the shoes of a fan who is like, well, dang it, you know, we had this coach here, and now he's having success elsewhere.
Because yeah. I'm still fully a believer in Raheem, and I still, like, you know, his leash is very, very long at this point. It's like, okay, is this an organizational thing? You know what I mean?
To answer the way Tiff put it, the Dan Quinn thing, we've covered that. He ran its course. He did well here. The thing with Arthur Smith is no, because Arthur Smith is having an okay run. I wouldn't say great. He's have okay. He's gotten better.
He's okay in Pittsburgh.
They're winning.
They're winning because they've got the best defense in the NFL.
I was going to say he's been okay in Pittsburgh, but he's been great with Russell Wilson, I think.
They have gotten better offensively, but they won a game.
With field goals, they have twice won this season.
Twice.
With Boswell, crowned him because he's
well.
That's what he does.
And crowned T.J. Watt and Highsmith and the secondary and the rest of that defense. To me, I think most Falcons fans say, yeah, Arthur Smith's doing good, but that team wouldn't be, 8-2 or 7-2 or whatever they are without Mike Tomlin. And
agreed.
The best defense in the NFL.
I agree.
And so, until they're offensively putting up 40 points a game, I don't think Falcons fans are crying over the spilt milk of Arthur Smith or whatever
I agree. I had a friend text me on Sunday, and I was like, that's ridiculous. But he was like, I never thought I'd say this, but if I could get Dan Quinn back as a head coach and Arthur Smith as his OC, that I'd feel pretty good about it. And I was like, no. And then I was like,
well,
I don't know. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, it's not realistic, but it's such a hindsight. But I mean, it's just it's interesting to think about.
I also think that good coaches sometimes, and I'm not saying Dan Quinn is or Arthur Smith has become either of these things, but I think good coaches sometimes become great coaches after going through a learning experience where they are fired and they reevaluate their systems.
Well, and you guys can both speak to this. Isn't a lot of this player development and what your front office is doing, drafting the right guys for the situation,
yes,
being able to develop them,
yes,
in the weight room and making sure those guys are playing at a high level and being able to, you know, get the most out of them. I think that's where some of the changes occur that you're talking about.
On to the Cowboys, where it has been a brutal season for them. So Cooper Rush is set to start in their next game, which is against the Commanders, speaking of Dan Quinn. But there might be a Trey Lance sighting in this one. And Coach McCarthy was asked about that. They weren't able to work him into the game this past week like they perhaps may have wanted to. But he did say, we have a package for Trey. We'll see what happens. So they said they've had some things ready for him, and we'll see if they can get Trey Lance sighting against the Commanders and Jaden Daniels.
And this had to happen. I mean, here's the issue. You've got Cooper Rush, who I think is a solid quarterback.
Still starting.
Right. I think he's a solid quarterback. How many times did Cooper Rush throw the ball last week? Anybody know? It was in the 50s. It was in the 50s. You already have an offensive line that has struggled big time up front, although they have big names attached to their jerseys, but they've struggled, right? And so for Cooper Rush to go in and throw the ball 50 times, something you are doing. And guys, this goes back to the exact conversation that I brought up and mic'd up on a Friday like over a month ago. You've got to change something about the way you're asking the offensive line to block and go about their business. I brought up direct snaps. But I think that's exactly what you're talking about with the Trey Lance. Just simply asking the defensive line to look at something different when you're planning on throwing it 50 times.
If he does get in, could it be a trend? Well, let's take a listen to Cowboys owner Jerry Jones.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I want to give our team the very best chance it can in all phases be successful. And so we're going to go here with a quarterback that gives us the best chance to win the game.
I think it's necessary. I don't mind it.
I don't think Trey Lance is the quarterback that gives you a best chance to win the game. That's just me. I understand what you're saying.
You don't know that, though.
I'm going to tell you this. If they thought it, they would have done it by now.
You would have never thought that Malik Willis would have done what he did in Green Bay this year. There's no way you can tell me that. You also would not have thought that Justin Fields would have been able to do it.
Well, hold on a second.
The New York Giants are putting Danny DeVito back at quarterback. So,
or Tommy.
So you're in a mode to try to win games, and the coach is trying to save his job. Absolutely
Tiff,
anything
why did you
well,
just call
possible.
That man that? Tiff.
What?
You just called him Danny DeVito.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
They're putting the penguin in
Tommy,
at quarterback.
Tommy DeVito. Toledo. My bad.
Well, I'm not.
Well, I did have an Illinois for a bowl game. Really nice guy. I'm sorry if you're out there listening.
If it was Danny DeVito, he would bring the whole team sub. Jersey Mike sub.
You know what I meant.
He might have trouble seeing downfield.
All right, let me answer one critic at a time. To the Malik Willis comment, well, the Green Bay Packers knew that, whether I did or not, because they went and traded for him. They traded for him before the season started, and they needed him literally in game two. And Matt LaFleur did a phenomenal job, and so did Malik Willis. And he gets all the flowers. Malik Willis gets all the flowers for the improvement. To Danny DeVito and Tommy DeVito, I am a little bit miffed by this move, and I'm not sure that the coach is trying to save his job. I don't think this coach thinks his job is in jeopardy. I think they're trying to get – I know this – call me crazy because I don't believe in tanking in the NFL, but I think they're rolling out Tommy and Danny both at the same time maybe. I don't know. That'd be a hell of a package.
He had some decent moments.
But why has Drew Lock been the number two all year?
Here's the other thing
that I think is underlying in both of these situations, because I think these are almost the exact same situation, right? You got a coach, you're not sure what the future looks like, and you got they're also looking at the third stringer going, hey, maybe they can help us win. I think the silver lining in both these situations is, organizationally, you can figure out who will be your backup going forward. Like, you can, if Trey Lance steps in and plays well enough, he can be your backup for Dak Prescott moving forward, right? Same thing with Tommy DeVito or Danny.
And I think it's easy to say, look, we're just having a – and none of us are wrong, and none of us are right, because we don't know. We're having a conversation, and that's the fun part about it, is like, that's just the opinion is, I don't think Trey Lance makes you better. I'm not sure why Drew Lock has been the backup all year if Tommy DeVito makes you better. But, Tiff, you're right. He played well last year, so –
we'll see what happens. This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart, Lasting Clean. I am taking over.
Oh!
We're mic'd up again. Oh. And
let's go.
Which one Wednesday?
Wow.
So buckle
Uh-oh.
Up.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
I wanted to use another word, but you can't say that on air. So buckle up, buttercups. That's the best.
You can use that word.
I can say that one. All right, we'll be right back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
There it is. Welcome in. It's Mic'd Up. It's Which One Wednesday. And I will cede to Tiffany here in just 1 second.
Also, shout out to my guys at Buffalo's and John Foy. Getting towards the end of this football season, man. So you got to shout those out. So, look, man, I think Tiff has done a good job hosting Which One Wednesday. So told her, let's step back up to the plate, tee this thing up again.
Thanks.
I hope Dylan does as good of a job judging as Tiffany does.
No, you deserve to lose again. So, anyway.
I didn't say it.
As always, I'll be fair and just, as I always am.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Can I come up with a 12th hour or 11th hour rebuttal or whatever they call it?
Listen, you can, actually.
Okay. He's the college football playoff, man. No matter what he does, nobody's ever going to agree with it.
Nobody overrules me, and I don't have to explain anything.
Which makes me believe, you know, I still had never finished my rat and snakes point from last week. But that's another story.
Still haven't finished it? I mean.
No. So let's get to it. All right. What's more likely to happen? Aaron Rodgers will still be the quarterback of the New York Jets next year, or Daniel Jones getting his starting QB role back this year?
Oh, jeez. It's got to be Aaron Rodgers. I don't know the zeros behind it, but Daniel Jones, that ship has sailed. There's nothing, after you've moved me from first to third, there's nothing you're going to do, because there is the injury clause, I believe, in Daniel Jones's deal, if I'm not mistaken. They've essentially moved on from him and say, we don't want him to get injured because we don't want to extend him and we don't want him to be here next year. So if they're going to put him back in that role to put him at risk of that, I don't personally believe Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the New York Jets. I just think it's more likely than Daniel Jones getting his starting job back.
Yeah, I do. I kind of agree with most of what he said. They're going to – you get to go first. They're going to move on, I think, from Aaron Rodgers. The fact that the owner apparently wanted to bench him in week four. But the money might be the only thing that saves Aaron Rodgers there. The money there and the money with Daniel Jones is why Aaron Rodgers could be the starter and why Daniel Jones won't. Because I don't have to guess. I do my research. I know that the Giants have an injury.
I just said
claw. You said you think.
I said I don't know how much he's owed.
What did he say? I can tell you, it's $25 million. It's $25 million.
Mike, I can't confirm you did say I
think it's 26.
You don't.
Yeah, I think it's 26.
You think a lot. I know a lot.
I think it's 26.
Okay. What would be the bigger upset this weekend? Indiana over Ohio State? Or is it Army against Notre Dame? And I'm not necessarily looking at the rankings or the seedings here. I'm just, you know, factor in.
It's Army all day, every day. I mean, Army is having an historic season for them. You know, the fact that they could go beat Notre Dame, especially after what Navy we got just humiliated. Indiana is a Power Four conference school.
I knew you were going to say that. I know that they're right behind. Okay, go ahead.
They also have it. They also spent quite a bit in NIL money to build this team that Kirk Cignetti has. Army, I don't think, and maybe I am wrong, but I don't think they spent millions of dollars on NIL money to bring players in just to win games. They have recruits. They are a military
service
school.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, therefore, Army beating Notre Dame and knocking them out of the playoff in a rivalry game and setting themselves up to potentially be a college football playoff team would be a bigger upset than any Power Four school could do to me.
You just said, I don't think that Army has spent millions of dollars. I know, Bo, that Army has not spent millions of dollars. However, the disrespect that has been thrown towards Indiana as an undefeated team at this point is off the charts. Ohio State, to your point, spent, what'd you say earlier, $20 million on their roster. And Indiana, it's been said, and I said it a couple days ago, and I brought up the conversation Mackenzie Brooks had with Danny Cannell. It's been said that Indiana would be underdogs to eight SEC teams. So while I think it would be incredible if Army beat Notre Dame, Notre Dame's not to the level of Ohio State. Notre Dame has no quality wins other than Texas A&M, who sits at 15.
Really?
All right, Notre Dame lost to NIU the following week.
Yeah.
All right, so while I agree with you on the surface, it'd be great for Army to win the game and get into the CFP, the upset of Indiana over Ohio State, well, what they've been able to do this year, it would be one of the greatest upsets in the last few years.
Army's played a harder schedule than Indiana.
Moving on, there's two more
makes it a bigger
to get
upset.
To. All right, Gladiator 2 will be released this weekend with Denzel Washington in it. Will it carry the same weight and hold that same place in our cinema hearts as the first one, which was 25 or so years ago?
There's no chance. I'll go first. There's no chance. And I don't even know what the which one is in this scenario.
I was going to say, I didn't really do a which one in this case.
This is more of a fair
but
foul.
Which one will hold that? I think this way. Let me look at what I wrote. Okay. Which one will hold a better place in our cinema hearts?
It's impossible. There we go. It's impossible. This is about to approach the levels of Dumb and Dumber and Dumb and Dumber 2. Or Dumb and Dumber-er, or whichever one you want to talk about. That's what this is about to look like. And there's a reason that, for the most part, these classics don't have the sequels, because they never live up to the hype. It's the Big Lebowski Denzel's and Big Lebowski 2. And I realize it's Denzel. I love Denzel. I've done a top five Denzel.
You did.
But there's no shot that this movie will ever even approach the shadow of what the regular Gladiator was. It's just impossible. That was a different time. There were different things being focused on. That's when cinema was cinema back then, Tiff. All right. It's just impossible.
Let's go, Bo.
Yeah, it was like 3 minutes long. It was a short. What I heard you ask me was which one will be heralded as the better sequel, Gladiator 2 or Top Gun Maverick?
Wait.
Hear me out. This is my argument. Because Top Gun Maverick, listen to me.
Hurry up. We got one more.
Because Top Gun Maverick is the greatest sequel in the history of sequels. That's not a trilogy. And the Gladiator 2 can never hold a candle to that, and it will never hold a candle to the original, because the original was something we hadn't seen, and this looks like a reboot of the original to me.
Okay. Last one here. Deion Sanders will be the coach of the Cowboys next year with Dak as his quarterback, or will it be his son, Shador?
Yeah.
Which one? Hey,
well, I'll go first because you went first last time, so turn your mic off there.
Yeah, go ahead. Get all your hot air out of the way so I can.
Deion Sanders won't be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys at all, because if he takes an NFL job, he will be in Las Vegas with Shador, where Shador will go. Okay, but if he did go to Dallas, he would be there with Dak. Because A, Dallas ain't going to be in position to draft Shador. And B, they are locked in because the contract that Dak has hasn't even started yet.
Yeah. Yeah, two things here. First and foremost, I'm not ruling out that Deion's the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys next year. I'm just simply not. I think that it's – here's the one thing that I will give Deion. All right, and I'll give Deion a lot of things. But here's the one thing I will say. Deion has done a good job, in my opinion, of raising his kids to be successful and holding their hand to an extent. But I think Deion also realizes there's a time that comes where your young men must stand on their own two feet. All right, and I think the time's now. And I think that it's time for Deion to grow as a coach. If he wants to grow in that profession and go in that direction, Dallas is America's team. He'll have the whole spotlight and everything else he wants to talk about. And he'll look at Shador finally in Shador's life and say, you know what, young man? It's time for you to grow up and be on your own two feet. There's too much money involved for Dak, though, to hammer Bo's point home.
I will add, he did tell us in our meeting when I had Colorado this season that he doesn't follow his kids. So.
Yeah, his kids follow him.
His kids follow, right? So.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But also, and that's also ruling out, if they did make him his head coach, then what if, I don't know, the Cowboys decided to make a move to get a quarterback? I don't
can't
know.
Imagine him
Dylan,
ever trade for
who that. Won?
Well, Mikey P wanted the smoke, and guess what? He got it. He got those whopper hands put on him.
What are you going to do, Michael P, when my whopper hands come after you?
He got his swagger back, Squid Billy, the winner of today's version of Which One Wins.
I'm trying to figure out what did it for you.
What might have been for that?
I think really what he had to say about just him and Mike had a little bit of the same views, but I just like Bo's explanation and his reasoning just a little bit better.
Because I brought facts and he brought, I think,
okay,
to the game.
The last answer is kind of what put him over the top, but a couple of other things in there, too.
Well, what say you? If you want to call in and weigh in on who won, Which One Wednesday, you can do just that by calling us at 404-726-0929 because it is time for the wake-up call when we return. Or you can tell us, you heard us talking about the improvements or changes the Falcons defense needs to make over the bye week. You can weigh in on that too. Give us a shout. Wake up call is next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.